Welcome to the Peaceful Power Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Clausen. Today, we are diving into a topic that was inspired by my week, the obsession with data tracking. If you're new here, I'm Andrea Clausen. I'm an Ayurvedic wellness counselor, 500-hour yoga teacher, Ayurvedic postpartum doula, and personal trainer. So I have been in this wellness space now for 17 years. And the obsession I see with data tracking has shifted throughout the years. So, way back 17 years ago, I personally loved to track my data. I would wear my Garmin watch when I went for my runs, when I did my workouts. I loved to see how many calories I burned, how accurate it was. I don't know, but this was the time, again, 17 years ago when we were obsessed with counting calories and how many did you burn in a workout. And, personally, I don't wear a watch now when I work out. I don't wear anything when I run either. Sometimes if I do go for a run for like a certain amount of miles, I like to do it just to see, was it a mile? Was it a half a mile? Just because I am so out of my running game. But again, haven't done that for years. So this is an episode that was really inspired kind of by the Apple Watch and Oura Rings. So those are kind of the two data tracking devices, I guess, that I'm referencing. Because when I taught yoga this week, and I taught about 10 classes in person this past week, one thing I noticed was a good chunk of the classes had Apple Watches on. And it was very split. Some people completely left them alone, never checked them once. Others were obsessed with their watch and had trouble getting into class or out of their head. And again, that was very few, but it would be, hey, we're going to hold a pose maybe towards the end of class and sitting here in this posture for a little longer. I had one gal who even was leaning back in a reclined posture, lift up her watch to keep reading her emails. And she's one that I've seen week to week always struggle with shutting things off. And to me, at first, I was thinking she was very Vata in nature, but then having gotten to know her, I guess, the past few months, she is much more pitta. She is analyzing things. She has trouble shutting down because she wants to answer emails. And mind you, this class is on a Sunday. It's a Sunday morning. People are not expecting emails or responses for work on a Sunday morning. And so this is just where I can see our community as a whole, our world as a whole, how obsessed we can be with just everything, tracking everything. We need to know our numbers. We need to make sure we respond to emails right away. There is no more space for just downtime. And is there? Of course there is. But sometimes, again, we get in our own head spaces where we think we need to respond instantly, and we can't even take an hour for ourselves in a yoga class. So I kind of had asked the question, I guess, are we becoming too dependent on data? Like, is this what we're doing constantly? We need to track all of this. We need to have that. Yep, I did my class because my watch told me I did. I've completed my circles, however many rings they give you. And are we starting to lose that connection with ourself at the same time? That's what I'm fearful of, is are we going to rely so much on the external that we totally don't even validate internal feedback anymore? And do we even trust our internal feedback anymore? Ooh, that's a scary landscape to kind of navigate. And that's where I feel like we're headed. Really, for the past 5 years, my tagline here is when I sign off on emails has been slow down, tune in, and connect with your inner wisdom. And that, I mean, even my book, I called it Divine Body Wisdom, because I feel so strongly in making sure we have that connection to ourselves, that we're not constantly going and seeking the external validation, which I believe we were taught growing up. That's how we were in school. You needed that external validation. You needed to have, like, hey, I got the approval. I got an A on this test. I need the external validation of whatever. I'm the best person at giving speeches in speech class. I did great at my book reporting, whatever it is. It's that external seeking. And unless we have some of that internal validation, which I think from an athlete perspective, because again, I'm coming from that world growing up playing three sports, I had a lot of internal validation that I sought more so than external. And I know not everyone is driven that way, and I am a weird creature. Sure, external validation, great, but I didn't need it. Mine more came from the drive internally. Did I feel like I had a good game? So let's say basketball is my sport. So like, did I feel like I left the court, I gave it my all, I played well. Maybe I didn't score as many points as I normally would, but did I feel good about my game? And if the answer was yes, I felt great about that. I didn't need someone from the outside saying, hey, you had a wonderful game. Also, why I really respected my parents is, you know, when I would drive home with them, they never would talk about the game unless I brought it up. So my mom had said, and she must have grown up, she was an athlete as well. Like that was not the case for her. It was more sometimes parents would kind of ridicule, or you should have done this better, or why didn't you do this, or great job here. They never did any of that. It was all me getting to express how I felt. And then, you know, they would maybe make a comment and they would never say anything like, oh, you should have done that, this or that, or comment about a teammate. That was not anything they did. And so I very much appreciated that. Like it was just a safe place for me to land. And, you know, having now grown up and spoke to them about that, that was something that they intentionally did. After talking to other parents and hearing what they do after, and hearing from my friends that my friends didn't like it, you know, that they hated riding home with their parents because this is what they did on the car ride. So they drove themselves to not be those, you know, those sports parents. And with that being said, I think it helped me develop that internal trust, and, you know, as in adulthood, because they let me do my own internal validation and knowing how I felt about things, that mattered. I didn't need that external. And so I think if we don't have that trust, we start to look for those external validations in other ways. And in the fitness world, in the wellness space, there are definite ways now that are being developed to do that, which would be your phone. Your phone tracks everything. You can have your phone on and it will tell you how many steps you've made. You have your health thing. I haven't turned it on my phone ever, so I'm not exactly sure what it does, but I know it probably does something. Same thing for an Apple Watch. I don't have an Apple Watch. I don't have an Oura Ring, but I know what they track, and they track a lot of things. And so for me, I don't feel the need to get one because I trust what I'm doing personally, I guess. Now, I loved this quote that someone I follow on Instagram, and she is a very rigid, she loves her data, she loves collecting it off her Oura Ring. I'm sure she tracks everything just based on what I see her share online that she tracks. She tracks her children and their sleep and their sleep patterns. And oh my gosh, like they were up this much. And this is how we moved it back. Now she's doing something with the data, which I'll talk about later. But a lot of people don't. So she is making adjustments. Now, what I found fascinating. So she's a fellow, she's definitely Pitta. Like she loves that, she loves the numbers. Her mom wrote in on an Instagram quote box because she asked her audience for questions, and her mom shared a quote with her, which I found fabulous and wanted to share it with you all because her thoughts are my thoughts exactly, her mom. So when she just had asked for any insight or how's your weekend, the mom shared with her, remember, your Oura Ring can't account for all the mental load that you're carrying. What? Mic drop moment. You know, that's just a nugget of wisdom. So much wisdom. Oh, we all need to be reminded of this. I want to read it again. Remember that your Oura Ring or substitute Apple Watch can't account for the mental load that you're carrying. Like, that is exactly what I feel like we're losing in this world, is we are just so data driven. It's not accounting for the stuff that you can't see, that mental load. You know, she is a business owner. I don't think her husband works. I think he's a stay-at-home dad. And so she has all of the pressure of that. She has two kids under two. And she is trying to, you know, work out, and she returned to exercise very fast postpartum. All of these things. So she's just putting all of this pressure on herself. And I think that's where we can lose ourselves in this data-driven world that we forget. Well, it can account for the mental side of things. So my students who might be looking at their watches who have trouble shutting down mentally, their watch can account for, hey, you might be in yoga, but you're really not relaxing. You're not being present at all. You know, you are completely distracted and have lost focus. So my next kind of, I guess, transition was, you know, I shared on Threads. I sometimes like to share on Threads because I find that there's a nice yoga community over there. with some yoga teachers. And I had a yoga teacher respond to this thread. And this is someone new who I have not interacted with yet over there, but I found this to be an interesting response. So my thread over there said, you know, if people are taking classes and they can't put away their Apple Watches just for a class, or they can't not look at them, isn't that defeating the purpose of yoga? And a yoga teacher said that she really likes to use hers for timing purposes in class, to time people as they're doing poses, and loves when people in class, including herself, announce that they closed another yoga circle ring. I think that's what it's called. I don't really know what that means, again, because I'm not an Apple Watch user. But I just found that an interesting response and also insightful for me. So for her sharing that to me, if she was someone local, I would definitely be like, I don't want to go to your yoga class at all. You know, you have trouble in the stillness. I also don't want to be in a class where people are chirping up and announcing that they have closed another yoga circle ring. What? Like, what? That is not the purpose of yoga. You know, that is the opposite. You know, that's an internal practice. It is going inwards and just discovering yourself. And that's such an external reference. And then on top of that, it was really neat to see. So as I finished my class, as I'm recording this here on a Sunday, the teacher who comes in after me, I really loved. So I always usually do my timing on my phone, and I hate it. You know, just because sometimes the clocks that they have at one studio, it doesn't have a second hand. And sometimes I'm trying to be as accurate as I can when I'm leaving people in longer postures in a yin and a restorative. In a hatha or vinyasa, I don't need my phone nearby. It can go off to the wayside. But in a class where I might need to do timing, that is how I've been doing it. And then the teacher who came in after me, she had an old school, I don't even know what to call it, the sand timers, you know, where you flip it upside down and the sand streams down. And I thought, that is brilliant. I am doing that next time I teach a yin or restore class. I am going to, you know, get out that sort of timer. I'm sure it's in one of my board games that I have here at home, and bring that to class and use that to time, versus needing to break up by even just getting my phone, or, you know, having my phone to the side. And again, I'm not doing anything besides pressing the timer on it, but it can be distracting. And so for me, having that just different intention with it, I think that will be even more beneficial to the students in class. And so again, if yoga teachers can't turn it off, you know, why should you as a student? Or how are we going to expect you to turn it off when teachers can't? And then another great story from this week. So again, this is why this topic came to me, this, you know, to share about, because I had so many interactions with Apple Watches and with people having trouble shutting it down. So I was chatting with a new male yoga student. So I'm teaching at a new studio that I haven't been before. So I'm getting to know all of the regulars. And we were just chatting before one of the core classes I was about to teach. And so he was in there, and he's been coming to all of the other classes I had taught that week. And he was in the class where someone's Apple Watch was going off and she couldn't figure out how to shut it off. And she's not one who usually looks at her Apple Watch, but she does do the workout mode and, you know, however tracks that. And so it kept going off, and she, you know, apologized several times throughout class. And I'm sure it interrupted everyone who was trying to relax. Eventually she got it to stop talking. But yeah. And he was just kind of saying, yeah, it's kind of disrespectful. And he doesn't like it when people have that stuff happen. Totally understand. I would also be in his same boat. So I told him that there's usually different ways, you know, in yoga, like people are either love to sit in a yin class and be talked to, and maybe read a story or a poem, and just had some stuff to sprinkled in as they're holding postures. Or as in a yin class, you know, people just love the complete silence. I am the teacher that will just leave you in silence, and I set that up beforehand. And either, again, people love it or they absolutely hate it and never come back. And that's totally fine. That's how I was when I first did yin. I hated the silence. I eventually now became to love it, but it took practice. And so with this practice, you know, he said he for sure is the latter, you know, leave me in silence. I don't want to hear your opinion or your poem. I don't want that to pollute my thoughts. I just want to see what comes up in my own mind. And again, that's trusting his own intuition and seeing what needs to be dealt with. And so I told him I can always tell my Pitta clients apart because doing my workouts with one-on-one clients, I will have several clients who will be like, oh shoot, I forgot to press start on my watch. Now we got to start our workout over because it didn't count. You know, it missed the first 5 or 10 minutes of the workout. And now it's going to be off for the whole day, which really, if we break it down, that's kind of silly and ridiculous. Like of course it's not, I mean, it counts. You just don't have it tracked on your watch, but you've done the workout. Your body knows that you did it. And if you really wanted it to count, you can always do an extra 10 minutes later in your day. Like for most of us, another 10 minutes of exercise or movement is not going to kill us. It really is probably for the better just because we have such a sedentary lifestyle now. So doing an extra 10 minutes later, totally fine. Go for an extra 10-minute walk. Do some, you know, squats, push-ups, planks, whatever. There's ways to kind of incorporate the extra if that's needed. Now, that's kind of not the same. As me and this guy were having this conversation, in walks one of my regulars, and she was wearing a watch and staring at it and just asked me, oh, should I set my watch to core or yoga today? Or is there a core way for me to document our workout today? And me and the guy we happened to just glance and, you know, give each other a little laugh because it was exactly what we were just talking about. And then in walks someone with their Apple Watch wanting to know the proper way to set it. And again, that's not judgment on her. It's just noticing and observing how dependent we are on these devices and how, if we don't track it, it's not going to count. So why all of the tracking, you know, why all of the sudden tracking? Like, what is this urge from? If we think about it, like macros, micros, how many steps did you get in today? How much were you on your phone at, you know, last night? How much complete sleep did you get? How long did you feed the baby for? How many hours was your baby up? Like all of that, if you're thinking about it, I mean, it's making my head explode. So my next question is, well, what are you actually doing with your data? That's really at the end of the day, if you're going to track all of this, what are you doing with it? Are you charting it? Are you writing it down somewhere? Are you taking the input and doing something different from what you're getting? So if your goal on paper is to do the 10,000 steps a day, great. What are you doing if you don't hit it? Are you adjusting to make sure that you hit it the next day? If may why what is your goal with the 10,000 steps? You know, is there an end goal? Same thing with calories. If you're counting calories, like are you doing it for a purpose or are you doing it just to stay structured and rigid? And in the process, are you losing the connection with yourself? Like that's to me the scariest part. So, and I do. I like to track data on occasions, but you got to do something with it. So for me, if people come to me with digestive issues, I want to see what they're eating. I need them to track their food. I need to track what month or what day of the cycle they're on. If they had a bowel movement that day, what time they're eating. I like to see all of these things. And then I'm going to make them do something different if I'm seeing red flags that are sticking out to me. Same thing with an irregular menstrual cycle. You bet I'm having you track things because I need to know what's going on because I'm going to do something with this data. It's useful for me. Is it useful for me to see if you've closed off another ring in your yoga class? No, that's not useful at all. What's useful is saying, hey, I went to yoga today, did an hour, or hey, I lifted weights Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week. Awesome. Like that is useful to me. I don't need to know the exact minutes. I don't need to know if you've closed off another circle because what are these circles actually getting? And even sleep. Like I don't, when people become really obsessed with like, hey, I didn't get the complete sleep. Sometimes those Oura rings, I've had people say they actually started losing sleep because they got obsessed with reaching 8 hours and then they wouldn't reach it. And then they would just feel defeated and just start stewing on it. And then, so before bed, what's the first thing they're thinking of? I need to get 8 hours tonight. How am I going to get it? And then they start stressing and then they can't fall asleep, or they get up in the middle of the night and they're still thinking, I need to get back to sleep because I got to get these 8 hours in. And really, I mean, as someone who has not slept 8 hours in a row for over a year, there are days where I wake up and I feel great. And there are days when I wake up and I'm like, I am tired today. My son must have got up several times last night. And I also can always tell when my menstrual cycle is coming. My first day of my bleed, I always am a little more tired. I'm like, oh, my period is coming very soon because I'm waking up super tired. And he was only up maybe twice last night. And so for me, I can track by using my own body. I don't have to look at an app or an Oura ring and to have the guidance there on paper. I know, like I can trust my body. It's telling me if we slow down and listen. So for me, I really want people to make sure we're not losing the self-trust. And that doesn't mean never use these devices. It just means, what are we doing with them? You know, do you really need your Apple Watch on in a yoga class? And sometimes the answer is yes. You know, maybe there is an important call. More often than not, though, you don't, and you don't have to track, and we can go with the flow a little bit more and reduce stress in the process. So that's my weekly challenge to you, as you might hear my little one yelling out there, is how can you put away data tracking devices this week? So what are you using or relying on that is no longer serving you? And if you're someone who maybe you don't have a device, but you've been thinking about getting one, maybe you also in the back of your head, you're like, do I really need one? Or am I good with what I have now? I maybe just need to tune more inwards and have that focus. Because again, I think there are great uses of them. It's just making sure we're not over-relying on the systems and we're not forgetting to trust our own inner wisdom in the process. All right. Thank you all so much. And let me know what you think over on social media at Seasonal Andrea. All right. Thanks again. Go out there and spread your peaceful power.